It is election time in Pakistan. The run-up to the election has been a violent one, a bitter campaign season that saw accusations of pre-poll rigging and a string of bloody attacks. Now, in this debate, we will look at the candidates. The contest seen largely as a two-party fight between jailed former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif's party and the Muslim League Nawaz party and cricket legend Imran Khan's Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf.
There are dozens of political parties contesting in Pakistan's election. However, we're going to take a look at what experts say are the three major ones. The Pakistan Muslim League, or PMLN, was founded in 1993 and is the incumbent party that won the country's last election in 2013. Shehbaz Sharif is running the PMLN's political campaign and is looking to be the next prime minister. He is the brother of former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif, the founder and prominent figure of the party. Last year, Nawaz Sharif was banned from holding public office over corruption charges. He has since been placed behind bars along with his daughter after being found guilty. At a recent rally, Shehbaz Sharif urged supporters to use their vote to pressure authorities into releasing his brother.
Promise me you will vote for Nawaz Sharif and help get Nawaz Sharif and his daughter out of prison with the power of ballot and the power of law.
Now, former cricketer turned politician Imran Khan is the leader of the Tehreek-e-Insaf, or the PTI. He launched the party over two decades ago, but the turning point for the PTI came in the 2013 election when the party came in second place. During a recent rally, Khan pledged to address the issue of youth unemployment.
My biggest challenge will be to give employment to the youth. This is the biggest challenge. We have made a fantastic scheme for you, not one, but several schemes.
Another major player is the Pakistan's People Party, or the PPP, led by Bilawal Bhutto Zardari. Both his grandfather and mother had been leaders of the PPP. Bilawal's mother, Benazir Bhutto, was assassinated in 2007. Bilawal Zardari has pledged to fight for the poor and the working class.
Our battles against deprivation, against backwardness, Pakistan People's Party's confrontation is with terrorism, unemployment, poverty, oppression and hatred.
Punjab province is a PMLN stronghold. The province has 140 seats. That's more than half of the National Assembly seats up for grabs here. In the 2013 elections, the PTI performed very strongly in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa. It also did well in parts of Kashmir. Essentially, the party will have to achieve strong results in Punjab to upset the PMLN. The PPP enjoys strong support in the southern province of Sindh. This is where the Bhutto family originates from. Punjab, however, will be the game changer with such a high number of seats. Analysts say Sharif's PMLN and Khan's PTI are literally neck and neck in the polls. Should neither of these parties win a majority, they will look to Bhutto's PPP and other parties to form a ruling coalition.
Our guest joining us for this edition of the debate, political analyst Shafiq Ahmad joins us from Islamabad. And we have strategic and political analyst Kamar Chima, who also joins us from Islamabad. Well, I'd like to welcome you both. And let me first start with you, Shafiq Ahmad. Looking at the race and the way that it's described, is it accurate to say that you're looking at three parties, basically, who are at the forefront here with two really, as it's been reported, to run in neck and neck, basically the PMLN and Imran Khan's PTI?
Yes, that is true. Like these two political parties seems to be neck on neck, particularly in Punjab. And what can I see? Like the other three provinces, like Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, same province.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got to unfortunately jump in, Shafiq Ahmad. We are having some audio problems there. Let me address that question to you, Kamar, you know, if we can. Same question.
Well, I think here in Pakistan, the most important thing is that this is the third time the democratic transition is going on, and the power is moving from civilians to civilians. That is the most positive thing so far regarding Pakistan's democracy. Last time back in 2013, the most important factor was the rise of PTI, Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf, and because of that, there was unprecedented voter turnout that was 55%. This time, it seems that the voter turnout will be less as compared to the last time. The reason behind is the incumbency factor for the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf, which has been ruling in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa. The election campaign is not that fast. It has not been that. It didn't get that much momentum, and it is being discussed and debated time and again here in the election campaigns that the elections are being managed. There is an impression that the elections are not going in a right way, where some parties are not getting a favorable environment. Specifically, the last time ruling party, Pakistan Muslim League Nawaz, whose leader is in jail because of the corruption charges. So there is a very, neck-to-neck competition going on, despite the fact that the one party is getting incentive. But the competition is very tight, and the polls that have come so far during the media campaigns or the independent agencies which have conducted, they are really very very close. And Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf does not enjoy a bigger majority in all those polls. And specifically, if we look at the undecided voters, which is about 14 to 15% in Pakistan's elections, that could disturb the PTI, because the factor of Nawaz Sharif and his daughter Maryam Nawaz Sharif, who are in jail, can influence those undecided voters, and that is 15%, and that can turn or that can tilt the power towards PMLN if the elections happen in a more transparent fashion.
Okay, well, let's look at one of the accusations, since we're talking about the PMLN, one of the accusations that it has leveled, and that's against the powerful military. That's what has been reported, that it actually said that it is manipulating candidates and the media ahead of the vote. Is that an accurate accusation? I mean, is it true?
Well, I would talk here is that the unelected offices in Pakistan have been powerful in the past, and the military has directly ruled. There is no doubt about that. But since quite some time, we have seen that the unelected offices are supporting the elected offices, be it the judiciary or be it the military. They are supporting the democratic transitions. They are supporting the political parties. They are giving them the security as has been asked and as has been advised by the Pakistan Election Commission. But the impression stays there that the military has been involved in managing elections, but this is coming from the party that was ruling last time. But the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf does not believe in that it is happening. But since the large number of corruption charges are against the former PMLN, which has ruled, so that does not mean if the corruption charges are there and they are being penalized, that means the institutions are supporting one party, or the institutions are trying to punish the former party that has ruled the country. So I think what matters at the moment, the accountability process that has started, it is being supported by the all corners of the society, all segments of the society, civil society, even the media and everyone. And they believe that this accountability process must go come what may, because the powerful people have never been penalized, have never been punished in Pakistan. So this is the right time they must be punished. But this impression that these elections are being managed stays there.
Well, but if you come out against the military, or if you have or if you're voicing sentiment against the military, which, by the way, can translate into Pakistanis perhaps turning against the military if they have their, let's say, person who's or the group that they like saying that, doesn't that mean that that may lower the chances of the particular party, in this case PMLN, of winning? Does the powerful military have that much of an influence when it comes to the politics, in this case in point, the elections?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, the military has ruled Pakistan directly. So the military is considered as a very powerful actor in this country because it has ruled directly and it has a very strong role as far as the foreign affairs are concerned, be it India, be it nuclear, be it Afghanistan, or dealing with the United States. So military plays this important role because it has been calling shots since long. At the same time, there is an impression in Pakistan that the political elite in Pakistan is not that mature and they are not interested in foreign policy, so that gives space to the military in that sense. But the impression stays that the military still manages things, which military denies categorically. And at the same time, the military says that we are supporting process. We don't want to come into the, it has brought bad respect for the military. It has tainted the image of the military. So they warn that we will stay in the barracks and we will let the political parties and the civil society and the people to decide whatever the course this country wants to adopt. So, but at the same time, as I mentioned, the military has been powerful. So certain quarters among the political elite, they continue looking at the military so that they could be supported, they could be helped in the elections. But there is an impression the military has tried to generate that we don't want to be political, we want to be apolitical. That is not our job. Our job is only to assist the democratic setup, to assist the system, to assist the democracy work. Even the last time when the Pakistan Tehreek Insaf staged demonstrations in front of parliament for 126 days, the military was not there supporting. The military didn't come for the coup. Military didn't have any perspective. Military only said that we will help things to settle down because we don't want to come into, but we want everyone to get the level playing field. But at the same time, as I'm continuously saying, that the large chunk of Pakistani media and large chunk of the Pakistani society have this impression that the military is influencing.
Okay, let's look at some of the challenges that some of these parties are going to be facing. Now, economy is said to be the number one challenge. And it's interesting, when it comes to the PMLN, when Nawaz Sharif first came into power, the first year or so, the economy actually started doing better prior to his predecessor. But at this point, given what we're looking in the landscape of the economy in Pakistan, it's not doing that greatly. Which party do you think is up for the task of improving Pakistan's economy?
Well, PMLN has certain edge over others in this way, because the PMLN is considered a party that gives a favorable business environment to the business community in Pakistan and that helps let the foreign direct investment come in Pakistan. Since the leadership of the PMLN is coming from the business family, they have huge interest in the business, and many opposition leaders believe that their business has improved a lot in the tenure when they have been in power. So they are blamed for that. But the international community, the international rating agencies, they always believe that whenever PMLN is in power, PMLN is power, there is a probability they will give a favorable environment to everyone to come in power. Even, you know, in 2013, the biggest slogan was, or the biggest campaign slogan was, the absence of electricity. But this time, 2018, this slogan is not there in Pakistani elections, and many believe that this is because of the much of the energy projects have been started and the electricity have been pumped into the national grid. So that we, so there is a sort of a posture or belief that the PMLN can do better. But PTI believes that it has a huge team. It has been working since long. It has remained in opposition. So it can help better, because some of the fellows are very powerful people who have worked in different economic institutions, and they can give better position. But at the same time, Pakistan People's Party, who enjoys bad reputation as far as managing economy is concerned, so the belief is that they will can disturb the economy or the international community or the international monetary agencies or the international rankings about Pakistan economy can go down if the Pakistan People's Party win the elections.
Okay, if we have Shafiq Ahmad, I'd like to bring you in, Shafiq Ahmad. We were talking about the different parties, and we've gotten to the part about the economy and the challenge, how much of a challenge that is for Pakistan. So let's talk about the corruption side, an issue that has been brought up, and it is said that the corruption needs to obviously be handled, and if it's not, then the economy is going to keep tanking. How is that going to work with the different parties to handle corruption, which is said to be pretty vast. Because at this point, if it's not handled, foreign investors are going to not invest in the country, and they're going to be scared off.
Yes.
Well, as for
Shafiq Ahmad, go ahead. Shafiq Ahmad, go ahead.
Staff Chief Imran Khan.
Go ahead, Shafiq Ahmad.
Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Yes, this is the main agenda of Imran Khan. So he is contesting election in the aim of, going after the corrupt people, corrupt politicians, corrupt bureaucrats. So this is the main agenda. And he has to go after all the corrupt people because what we have seen that there is a increase of corruption level in the country, and we are going further under the debt. And the current situation is that if we did not control over the corruption issues in the country, we have to bridge the trade deficit or the economic problem. To overcome the economic problem, Pakistan once again will have to go to the International Monetary Fund. So corruption is indeed one of the major issues in the country, and Imran Khan, if he wins, so the people are going to elect him because his one agenda, that is anti-corruption, to give free hand to the anti-corruption organization in the country to nab all those people who are involved in corruption in the past. And he has already made promises with the people that the first and foremost job he's going to do is to get back the money of corrupt politician who has amassed money and who got money and transferred that money into foreign banks. So he has made a promise. So there will be a big pressure. If Imran Khan wins the election, so there will be a big pressure on Imran Khan, and he has to do something because the current economic situation, the job situation are very bad in the country.
Okay, yes. We need to break down a little bit the character, if we can, Kamar Chima, of Imran Khan. And I'll ask you a simple question. Tell us who Imran Khan is, and tell us the strengths and weaknesses that he has.
Well, I think Imran Khan is considered a politician in Pakistan who is clean, who does not have any corruption charges against him. And he's the man who has done a huge philanthropic work in Pakistan. And he has, you know, made certain hospitals and universities in Pakistan with the support of the people. And he's the person who is respected in Pakistan because he can get as many funds as he wants. People trust him because they believe that his funds, the funds which will be deposited in Imran Khan through Imran Khan's foundation, they will be used in a positive fashion. So people have believed that they have a trust on him. That is the positive thing. But the second, the trouble regarding Imran Khan is that traditional society or the people believe that since he had, you know, failed marriages, although that is his personal life, nobody has a right to discuss, but people normally in society discuss because this is a conservative society where we live. So that is the drawback many people consider. At the same time, they believe that this person has not been into the parliament as well. When he was elected, even the opposition leader, he didn't go to the parliament. So he does not believe in the democratic setup. He does not believe in the parliament much, although he wants to go there. At the same time, he promised people of Pakistan that he will conduct intra-party democracy. He will introduce intra-party democracy in his party, but he failed to do that in his last 23 years because of so many internal fissures in his party. So there are a huge number of trouble which could be considered. At the same time, in 2018, the incumbency factor for Imran Khan is there because he has ruled in one province for 5 years, and many believe that there are charges of corruption against his people, or there were certain projects which were started and they are being funded, and they have been started with heavy money, or the less money could have been spent on those areas or those projects. So, okay. But overall, he's considered a clean person in Pakistan.
Well, Shafiq Ahmad, one of the things that perhaps you can clarify for us is the way that Imran Khan is going to handle foreign policy, and in particular, that is, if he was to be successful in this election, and in particular, how he's going to handle the U.S. We know that he's pretty much held a very anti-U.S. posture throughout the years. So that is going to be one challenge that he has to face. And of course, how you think the U.S. Relationship is at this point with Pakistan when it comes to these elections, because it is said now that the relationship is kind of strained.
Yes, I recently interviewed Imran Khan, and he is very clear, like he wants to have relations with all the neighboring countries as well as with the Western world, and particularly with the U.S., because since the operation against Osama bin Laden in Pakistan, all unilateral action by the U.S. Navy SEAL without taking into confidence the Pakistan government. So since then, the relationship are not well, and it is, and particularly during the Trump period, it is further deteriorating. So Imran Khan thought is very clear that he want to have relation with all the countries on equal basis. Though Imran Khan seems to be a little bit stubborn person or stick to his, unflexible, he has already shown willingness to talk to the Taliban, particularly in the case of to control militancy and Taliban issue in the country. He suggested in the past, and still he believes that we should talk to the Taliban to solve the issue of militancy in the country. So he has a different position to handle the militancy issue in the country, which did not like by the U.S. So in fact, we cannot say right now, but he has a desire to have relations with all the neighboring countries, including U.S., with the Western world, including the U.S., but on equal terms. He wants to have a good relations, and as we have seen that he is very popular in the Western world, so he has some abilities. So we will see, and I'm quite optimistic that if he comes into power, he will be in a better position to handle the issues, because the previous government of Nawaz Sharif did not appoint any foreign minister. Nawaz Sharif was himself prime minister as well as the foreign minister. He has an advisor on foreign affairs, but there was no foreign minister during the 5-year term. So we are quite optimistic if Imran Khan comes into power, he will appoint some reasonable person to handle the affairs, because right now Pakistan is facing a lot of challenges, not from the western border close to Afghanistan, but from the eastern border with India, and his foreign policy yesterday, before the end of election campaign, he said that he wants to have a good relation with India, but he will not compromise on Kashmir. So his intention is very clear, and I'm very optimistic. People are here very optimistic.
Okay.
That if
I got to unfortunately jump in. I got to give some 30 seconds to our guest, Kamir Chima. Since our guest mentioned Kashmir, tell us, is that going to be a factor at all in these elections? And if not, or if it is, which party do you think will actually pay the most attention to this issue that has been a challenge, to say the least, for the past decades? 30 seconds.
Unfortunately, no political parties has shown a consistent approach as far as the issue of Kashmir is concerned. They only speak on Kashmir when there is a public opinion they want to raise in their favor, or they believe that there has been some sort of the indigenous struggle in Kashmir is going on, and the momentum is high, so they try to get incentive and try to get publicity out of supporting the Kashmir issue. Otherwise, no party has supported the Kashmir issue in full boom the way the Kashmir issue must be addressed, the way the Kashmiris need attention, and the way human rights violations are in Kashmir.
Thank you very much for that. We're going to end it. Political analyst Shafiq Ahmad spoke to us from Islamabad, and strategic and political analyst Kamar Chima there, also from Islamabad. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mika Vitawe and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.